Dominic Rhodes joins us on Sports Byline USA. He played in the NFL for 9 seasons, 8 of those with the Indianapolis Colts. And, of course, he picked up a Super Bowl championship ring when he was involved with Super Bowl number 41, and they knocked off the Chicago Bears. He was signed by the Colts as an undrafted free agent out of Midwestern State University. And in his rookie year, he became the team's starting running back after Edgerrin James injured his knee, went on to rush for 1,104 yards, more than any other undrafted rookie. Let me ask you, first of all, Dominic, tell me what it was like in Abilene, Texas, where you grew up.
Growing up there, it's another small town, but it's in West Texas. And, you know, growing up there, it's all about football. You know, I learned some values about football that I could take with me into the NFL, and most of it was working hard because, you know, in West Texas, that's what it is, a bunch of hard-working guys that most of them probably get the chance to maybe play low Division II football or something like that, and that'll be it for their football career. So they play as hard as they can for 4 quarters, and that's what we did, man. Every team I played on, we won. I was fortunate enough to play in a state championship when I played at Abilene Cooper under a great coach, a Hall of Fame coach here in Texas, Randy Allen. We played against Drew Brees. Unfortunately, we lost in that game, the state game. I had in Abilene, that's when the foundation was built as far as the football player that I became and who I am. And I had awesome experience there, and I love Abilene for what they brought to me and the discipline they gave me as a football player.
Tell me what Friday or Saturday nights were like in the fall in Abilene.
Friday nights in Abilene are, you know, mostly everyone's at either Abilene Cooper football game, which is my high school, Abilene High football game, which is the crosstown rival, or Abilene Wiley football game, which is a football team that's right outside the outskirts of Abilene. So the city's pretty much shut down, and it's all about football. And that's pretty much the big country in a nutshell, man. Everyone loves football out there. And that's what it's about on Friday nights during football season. You can pretty much find maybe the stores open, the Allsup's. You can find the Allsup's open, and you can get your Allsup burrito, but that's about it.
You know, we all saw Friday Night Lights, and it depicted, you know, what it was like to play football in Texas. How true was that movie and that book?
That book was a story based on Odessa Permian, which that's my district. I played that district. I played Permian every year that I was in high school. My senior year, we actually beat them when we went to state. So I was very happy about that. But that's how football in West Texas is very strong like that. I remember, every year we had brand new uniforms, we had a new pair of gloves for every game. We had new cleats. I mean, we wore warm up suits to every game that our coaches gave us. You know, every year we got a new one. You know, so. It was a pretty big time thing to play football in West Texas. The movie, it depicted them getting money and stuff like that. I don't know about all that. I never got any money. I just know that we were well taken care of as far as like football wise. We never went without. We had everything we needed to go out there and perform and be great. And I really appreciated that, especially when I went on to junior college and I seen the junior college equipment that we had. It's definitely a lower level than 5A football in Texas.
Let's talk a little bit about you playing JUCO football, and that is the fact you're recruited by a couple of major universities. Why did you decide to go on that route?
I'm glad you asked about that because that's kind of I say my story that I got is giving me a platform and it's giving me a testimony to give the young kids because when I was in high school, I decided I neglected my grades. All I thought about was football and track, and that's all I did. You know, I got a lot of C's on my report card, we went off. We had a grading scale that was going off for the 1960s, and they were counting C's as D's, low C's as D's, and it gave me a 1.7 GPA. So, with that being said, I took my test scores and stuff, and I only took one test in high school. I only knew it by my senior year. And pretty much everybody just ran off after I didn't get my test scores and they started my GPA was going to be too low. I had a 1.7 GPA. I really didn't even care about school. I took school. I don't really remember doing homework too much. And that was something that now that I look back, it really It hurt me. And because I look at guys now that are playing at these big-time schools and stuff like that, and I know that I had that opportunity, and that's one thing that I always sit back and think that I wish I would have got that opportunity to play big-time college ball and, you know, see where the cards may have fell that way. Who knows? I mean, I may not be sitting here talking to you today, but I still, like, I mean, that's just something in me that I would like to let young kids know. Don't ever miss out on that opportunity for just not taking care of your books.
You went on then to Midwestern State University, again, had an outstanding football career there, but you did not get drafted. Do you think it had to do with the caliber of competition that you played at the two schools, so therefore you were kind of downgraded when it came to drafting you?
You know what? I do. I think that the competition had a lot to do with it. I think if it was nowadays, I probably would have got drafted pretty high, you know, because there's a lot more light on the D2, especially the conference that I played in. My conference is putting out a lot of players right now, and, I mean, a lot of drafted players. Actually, my school got a guy drafted in the second round last year to the Carolina Panthers. So I think that I think it had a lot to do with that, but also my background and some of the things that I was doing off the field also had something to do with it as well. I was in a relationship with a woman that me and her were causing a lot of friction, and police were coming out and stuff like that. I mean, just, you know, things growing up that I may have done, because they were asking me questions from freaking elementary. People were caught like investigators were calling my phone, like, "Hey, did you do this in the fifth grade?" I was like, "Wow," you know. So I think it had to do with the competition that I played against, and also the reason why I was playing against that competition is some of the things that I did in my past, as far as not taking care of my books in school and having a kid in high school, didn't have another one. I got to college, and then being with a woman that me and her were already calling problems in college, then, you know, nobody wants to deal with that as far as a draft pick. That's what I think. So just another lesson that I like to just give the kids, you know, to just try to stay straight and think about only ball if that's what your goal is.
Dominic, you and I over the years have had very candid conversations. I've always appreciated it, and I always found it to be certainly educational. So I know I can talk to you about this. When you take a look at athletes, and particularly African-American athletes, tell me a little bit about what your background was like that made it tough for you to endure in the real world, because a lot of athletes have the same story you do.
Well, I mean, it's definitely the truth that a lot of athletes have the same story that I have. And, you know, a lot of us tend to fall back on that story. I'm not one of those guys just like to say that. I mean, the truth is the truth. I mean, I grew up without a father. I grew up poor. I grew up without a lot of the things that I wish that I could have had, you know. The reality of the situation is, you know, it gets to a point where you still make your own decision, you know. And a lot of the decisions that I made them to get into the NFL, which were pretty good decisions. And I also made some decisions that got me either out of the NFL or in positions to put me out of the NFL, you know. So I think that, you know, a lot of us, you know, even if we do grow up in a bad situation, in order for us to get to where we even have got to the NFL, we had a lot of people trying to help us, and a lot of us neglect the help, or we don't see the help until we get older, and then we understand that, hey, you know, man, maybe I did stomp my own toe, you know, maybe that was me, you know, or maybe if I would have took this turn instead of that turn, you know, because that's all I see when I look back at my career and my life, you know, because if I would have made a couple different choices here or there, then I believe I probably could have been a Hall of Fame running back, because I feel like I ran that hard and I ran with that much passion inside of me, but I didn't have enough discipline on the outside to per se put myself in that position. It's all about who you are as a person and what you decide to do. It's not about somebody else at all.
Very honest comment from you, Dominic. We're going to talk to you about your NFL career and how you found the NFL, and particularly two things. One, that rookie year, which you ran for over 1,000 yards, and of course, you were the leading rusher in the Super Bowl 41 victory that you had over the Chicago Bears. We'll talk about that in just a second as we continue across the country and around the world. Dominic Rhodes has joined us and you on America's Sports Talk Show.